scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention. On the importance of economic instruments and free markets, were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Welcome back to Technocracy News and Trends. I'm Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief. Today is the very last day in May 2019, and we have a lot of news in the news today. First story I'm going to talk about is a story of resistance, at least a little bit of resistance, in Ohio, of all places, an industrial state. In Ohio, a bill has passed the Ohio House by a vote of 43-53. That would subsidize nuclear and coal plants while eliminating a green energy mandate that now pushes utilities to more renewable energy and efficiency resources. This is an interesting story because it's causing the green crowd to grind their teeth that an actual state has resisted the call for renewable energy and instead decided to back nuclear and coal power. Well, in the meantime, it's caused a rift between the nuclear crowd and the oil and gas crowd, because oil and gas wasn't mentioned in this bill. And so the oil and gas crowd now is claiming that, well, the state is prejudiced against us in favor of nuclear. And of course, nuclear and oil and gas usually are not on the same page of much. So there's more arguing going on between, well, should it be nuclear or should it be oil and gas? But the House in Ohio has chosen at this point to back nuclear power and coal. That could be a template for other states to pick up on, that it is possible to play these things down once they realize just how much money it's going to cost to implement renewable projects, not just to the state, but how much it's going to cost to the consumer. Because after all, the consumer is the one that ultimately elects those officials. And if consumers ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So that's kind of an interesting story. It's not super important. The next one is, however, in fact, the next two stories here are rather earth-shaking. I've been warning for some time about new governance type of entities that have sprung up on the American people. It's really around the world, but in America especially. One of those is the Smart Region Initiative, where regionalism is being applied to create smart city technology that will be implemented on an entire region outside of the cities and city councils that exist within that region. We've talked about councils of governments that are set up in almost every state across the country to apply regionalism principles to their respective areas. They're rather closely related to the Smart Region Initiative, but they've been established for a much longer time. And now we have a new type of governance entity that's sprung up all around the world. I was surprised today as I researched it a little bit more. It's called the Sandbox. The Regulatory Sandbox. I'd heard of this before, I understood the concept before, but it never really hit me just how important the so-called regulatory sandbox is to public policy. And this article, which is titled The Sandbox, Unregulated Playgrounds for Technocratic Experiments, is one that you absolutely must read to understand what the technological elite are trying to do to our society. Now, in this case, the so-called regulatory sandbox is a designated area, normally by a city, that removes the normal regulations associated with new technology, allowing companies or individuals to go into these regulatory sandbox areas, set up experiments, and basically do whatever they want to do, not only in terms of creating new technology, but applying it to the people that live in that sandbox area. One definition reads like this. While there is no precise definition of a regulatory sandbox, it is, broadly speaking, a framework within which innovators can test business ideas and products under regulatory supervision without fear of penalties. The logic of this definition would have justified the grotesque medical experiments performed by Nazi scientists during World War II. Basically, as anything goes, you can experiment on live communities without their permission, and there's no penalty for consequences. This is absolutely insane. Regulatory sandboxes are being established throughout Arizona right now, for instance. This is my territory, so I'm particularly attuned to this. But the idea is to invite entrepreneurs and startup companies into these zones to advance new technology, perhaps invent new technology, experiment with it on the people in the zone, and if somebody decides that it's successful, then roll out those technologies to the rest of the area. This is deregulation at the extreme, and it's going to be used to implement all sorts of new technologies that are contrary to our republic in the United States. This article brings out an example. It's actually in favor of the regulatory sandbox concept, but it will give you an idea on the thinking behind it. So these are being implemented throughout America, but throughout the rest of the world as well. And I'm talking Europe, India, Asia, Canada. This is a new concept that's sweeping the world. Set up little areas for technocrats to establish a playground to create things without regulatory supervision that would normally be in place. So they're operating outside of the societal norms or the societal governmental norms that exist for the protection of the people. This is a very dangerous precedent to set. And you can determine if there's any regulatory sandboxes in your area simply by searching for your city name and the term sandbox. The third story that's also extremely disturbing is that police departments across America are about to be able to adopt TSA-style scanners for public use. In other words, the type of scanners that exist in airports for security purposes will now be available to law enforcement agencies to set up scanning kiosks anywhere they choose, to where they can see any object that any person is carrying, either in a bag or under their garment. Anything physical can be pointed out. My comment on this is, as this technology falls into the hands of local police agencies, police state practices will be able to scan civilians without their permission or awareness to produce actionable items for intervention. This would be an egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment prohibiting illegal search and seizure. And indeed it would. I want to share a little bit of this article with you. It says, TSA-style body scanners are coming to public places, and that should scare the heck out of everyone. If you thought the NYPD's backscatter vans and police mini-Zs were intrusive, you haven't seen anything yet. Soon, nowhere will be safe from Big Brother's prying eyes as police prepare to use HexWave to spy on people in public spaces. Last week, the Salt Lake Tribune revealed that the Attorney General and law enforcement are partnering with Liberty Defense, that's the name of the company, a 3D image scanning company that makes its money from scanning the public in real time. 3D means capturing rich information like size and shape and depth about the detection space. It can detect any material that has a physical form. Let's start with their name. Calling yourself Liberty Defense is an affront to liberty-minded Americans who do not want to be secretly spied on by Big Brother. Their tagline, quote, protecting communities and preserving peace of mind, close quote, is the exact opposite of what this device does. Any device that is used to spy on the public is just that, a surveillance device. It is not a defense of our liberty. As Fox Now 13 reported, police will use Liberty Defense's HexWave to spy on people at mass gatherings like concerts, malls, and stadiums. And quote, HexWave could be deployed at mass gatherings, public transit stops, stadiums, government buildings, said the CEO, Bill Riker, of Liberty Defense. If you don't believe Fox News, and perhaps you will believe Liberty Defense, which openly admits that they want governments and businesses to put their 3D scanners in every public venue. This is from their webpage now. Quote, their challenge, efficiently securing high traffic areas with multiple entry points, such as hotels, schools, airports, public transit systems, entertainment venues, and outdoor pedestrian locations in a secure, non-intrusive manner. If you're still not sure about law enforcement's plans to scan the public, then perhaps you will take the Utah Attorney General's office word for it. According to the AG's, quote, memorandum of understanding, police plan to use HexWave to scan the public for 2 years, in but not limited to, here's a list of things that this technology will be used on. 1, sporting and concert arenas, stadiums, and Olympic venues. 2, primary, secondary, and higher education facilities. 3, places of worship, churches, facilities and property owned by or affiliated with faith entities. 4, government offices, buildings, and facilities. 5, amusement parks. And 6, entertainment events, conventions, shows, and festivals. Police will also use HexWave to spy on the public during, quote, non-business hours to get system exposure to the full range of potential operating conditions, to include environmental, frequency/volume of use, or other operating conditions to which HexWave should be subjected. The article concludes, the spread of surveillance devices helps private corporations and law enforcement track and identify everyone. It does absolutely nothing to stop terrorism. Now, I've included a video from Liberty Defense. Actually, it's their official product video that you simply have to listen to. It's on YouTube, and it's just a few minutes long. But now is the time to start working to keep this out of your city. And if you don't have a seat at the table to make your voice known, you can bet this is coming sooner than you want. And when it does, nobody will be safe from this type of search. What the police do with this, of course, is another story. If somebody's walking along and they're scanned and they have something in their pocket that looks like a gun, and the police think, this guy has a gun or woman, we better stop them and frisk them. And they find out in the end it actually wasn't a gun at all. It was something else, but it was mistaken for a gun. This is going to produce all kinds of unintended consequences that will be damaging to those that are wrongly accused. And in any case, scanning everyone for the sake of catching a few is ludicrous. This is not the American way. This is not the intent at all of the U.S. Constitution to protect the life, liberty, and freedom of individuals. This will result in a police state like no other, except perhaps China. So read the story, listen to the video, and then decide what you are going to do to make a difference. I want to point out at the end of this, if you have not yet been to citizensforfreespeech.org, I strongly suggest that you go there as well. This is an organization set up to defend the First Amendment and the rights of citizens and individuals to speak out on issues like this without fear of reprisal. And secondly, the first and major project of Citizens for Free Speech is a social media website designed exclusively for activists called localactivist.org. If you're not active in your community yet, but you want to be, you need to become a member of localactivist.org. If you are an activist already and you're working within your local community with a group, you also need to be a member of localactivist.org so that you can have a secure place to communicate, to collaborate, and to meet other like-minded people that are sharing their successes and failures and strategies with you. That's citizensforfreespeech.org and localactivist.org. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.